So today I'm going to present you our work on leveraging email delivery for spam mitigation. So the previous talk told you why spam is a big problem. There is a wealthy economy behind spam, and well, assuming we cannot really pay the spammers to stop spamming, the problem is not gonna go away anytime soon. In particular, 77% of emails sent worldwide are actually spam. And botnets are responsible for a large fraction of this spam being sent. For these reasons, there's been a lot of previous work on mitigating spam. And this work mostly focuses on two fields. The first field is content analysis. So what these techniques do is looking at what is being sent and try to flag email messages as spam. And the second approach is origin analysis. So these techniques are looking at who is sending the emails in particular, which IP addresses these emails are coming from, or the autonomous systems are coming from, and all these kind of features. Unfortunately, existing methods have problems, and this is why you guys are still receiving spam in your email box. For instance, content analysis is very resource intensive, so it's unfeasible to run it on every single email that a server receives. And previous work showed how origin analysis has some coverage problems, so it tends to miss a lot of detections that are actually spam. In our approach, we propose a novel technique. So basically, we're looking at the actual email delivery process. And in particular, we're looking at the way in which clients interact with SMTP servers. So we look at how these emails are sent. We implemented a tool called Babel. And basically, our approach has two different instances, SMTP dialects and feedback manipulation. This is the outline of my talk, so I'm going to give you an overview of our techniques. Then I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into details on our system design. And then I'm going to discuss our evaluation and, of course, the limitations that our system has. So as I said, the first technique is SMTP dialects. Well, clients send emails by speaking the SMTP protocol with email servers. SMTP stands for Simple Mail Transfer Protocol. And the protocol is defined as an alternating dialogue between a server and the client, which terminates, hopefully, with an email being delivered. The protocol was designed in the 80s when basically the main goal of people developing network protocols was to make things work. And for this reason, it follows the so-called Postel's law, which states, be conservative in what you send, but liberal in what you accept. And as a consequence of this, servers tend to be very strict in the kind of messages they send back to their clients, but they tend to be pretty liberal in the kind of messages they accept. And this gave basically the freedom to developers writing SMTP clients to come up with their own variations of the SMTP protocol and be still able to send emails in a correct way. We call these variations SMTP dialects. So the analogy here is with real language dialects. So we have two people from the same country, Giovanni and myself, which speak slightly different dialects, and so they will use slightly different words in their while speaking to each other, but they will still be able to understand each other. In the same way, we define SMTP dialects. As it will be clear later, we can model this dialect as state machines. And in particular here, you can see in the states, the messages that the client send, and in the transitions, the messages that the server sends. And you can see that on the left, we have a dialect that sends a hello message followed by a mail from message, while on the right, the client sends a reset message in between. And also, the client on the left has a space in the mail from command between the mail from token and the email address, while the one on the right does not. And this gains importance if I tell you that the dialect on the left is a legitimate client, it's actually Outlook Express, while the one on the right is a spam bot. So as you can see, we could leverage these differences for spam mitigation. But not only for spam mitigation, we could use them also for malware classification. If we have two bots belonging to two different malware families, we could actually fingerprint their email engines and be able to figure out which family each bot belongs to. The second technique is feedback manipulation. So the standard email delivery process works as follows. We have a server and we have two users, Bob and Alice, who want to communicate with each other. In particular, Bob wants to send an email to Alice. So Bob will send an email to the server where Alice has an account. And if everything goes well, Alice will receive the email. However, something might go wrong. For example, Bob might have a wrong email address for Alice. And so the server will report back that there is no such user with that email address. Now, Bob might have just simply mistyped the email address and he might just correct it again and send the email. And at this point, Alice will receive the email and everything is fine. So as you can see, feedback is important in the normal email delivery process. However, as it turns out, botnets use this feedback too. In particular, if we have a bot master that orders a bot to send spam to Alice, the bot will attempt to send the email to Alice. And typically what happens is that the server will perform some sort of anti-spam analysis, maybe drop a message, maybe not, and Alice will receive a spam message. However, something can go wrong again. And for example, the bot might have an address that does not exist. And so the server will inform the bot again about this. Since the bot is not a real person, it cannot really check if the address is mistyped or what happened. But what it can do is reporting this information back to the email server. And the emails, the command and control server. And what the command and control server can now do is just removing that address from the email list being used by the botnet. And as a consequence of this, he's able basically to tune the performance of the botnet, because at the next iterations of the spam campaigns, the bots will not try to send emails to addresses that will fail for sure. And so they will save time, so to speak. So previous work showed how successful botnets use this kind of bot feedback. And in particular, in the case of Catwell botnet, which is one of the largest, it was shown that 35% of the email addresses used by this botnet were non-existent. And so the bot masters were able to basically tune their performance by pruning all these non-existing email addresses. The question now is, what if we gave wrong feedback to the bots? What if by leveraging any previous technique or also the dialects proposed in this paper, we were able to figure out that a certain sender is indeed a bot and would just start telling the bot that email addresses it is trying to spam to do not exist? Well, we will put the bot master in front of a dilemma. What he could do is basically either accept our feedback, but by doing this, he would remove existing email addresses from the email list, and basically these users would start receiving less spam because this particular botnet would not target them anymore. Or he could just discard all the feedback, but by doing this, it would be impossible for him to tune the performance of a botnet anymore. Let's now look at our system design. So as I said, an SMTP conversation is an alternating dialogue between a sender and the recipient. And in particular, the messages sent by the sender are called SMTP commands. And the ones sent by the recipient are called SMTP replies. For our purposes, we stop when we see a data command because we want to be able to perform spam mitigation before the actual content of the email is sent. We do this for performance reasons. We define our dialects as state machines. And in particular, the important parts are a set of states that are labeled with the commands from the client and a set of transitions that are labeled with the replies from the server. We also have a set of good final states, which are states that end up with a successful email being sent. So they are labeled with a data command, and bad final states that are labeled with either a quit command, meaning that the client just gracefully shuts down the connection, or with an empty label, meaning that the client just closed the TCP connection without sending anything back to us. For our approach, we need three phases. We need first to learn SMTP dialects from a variety of both legitimate implementations and malicious ones. Then we need to build a decision model that allows us to make a decision and eventually to match existing SMTP conversations to this decision model to figure out which dialect a certain client is speaking. We came up with our own algorithm for this. The reason for this is that we needed basically our approach to be first black box, so we didn't want to look into the binaries actually sending emails, so that we don't have to deal with obfuscation and other kind of problems with malware analysis. And also we wanted our approach to be stateful, because typically it's not enough to look at a single protocol command to figure out to which dialect a certain conversation belongs, but we need a sequence of them. So I'm now going to give you an idea of how our learning algorithm works. The details are in the paper. So we have a bot that is trying to send an email to the server. So the bot will connect to the server and the server will send back a greeting message to the bot. Right now, our state machine has an initial state and an edge with a reply from the server. Then the client will send some sort of hello command. What the server will do now is trying to find which parts of this command are actually variable, we have a number of regular expressions to match to find out, for example, that evil.com is actually a domain name. And then we create a state containing hello domain as an identifier. The server will then send an OK reply, and the process will continue, and we will learn the full state machine. Actually, the problem now is how to collect SMTP conversations. To build a meaningful dialect, we need to observe enough test cases, and typically only observing successfully sent emails is not enough because the states we can explore are only 4 or 5. So, of course, we could do passive observation, so just sit on a server and observe at the conversations that the server is generating with its clients. The problem here is that exactly our observation surface is pretty small, and so it might be that only by the parts of the dialects that are observable by passive observation, actually two dialects might look the same. So we might not be able to distinguish a legitimate dialect from a malicious one. An alternative is performing active probing. So just sending messages back to the client that would basically generate additional outputs. For example, we could send incorrect replies and so on. More precisely, we could send out of order replies. So we could send a correct SMTP reply where it's not supposed to be sent in the regular protocol. For example, we could send a send me data command right after the client connects, and maybe some dialects will just not care and send us the content of the email even if they didn't specify the recipient. Or we could just send non-existing replies and just see how the client reacts to this. After we have learned a number of dialects, we compose them together in a decision model, which is a decision state machine. And this gives us the information about all the dialects we were able to learn. And we use the decision state machine to make a decision later. In particular, we can do this by either passive matching. So we traverse the state machine by observing the actual replies and commands that are sent on a server by just observing them. And hopefully in the end, we will be able to say, this is definitely this particular dialect. But as I said before, this is not always possible. Or we could perform active probing. So anytime we are undecided between two dialects, we might actually send a specific reply that will expose the differences because the two dialects will actually respond differently to them. Let's now look at how our system works. We first ran active probing to show that we can actually perform malware classification based on our dialects. So in our experiment, we ran 13 different legitimate mail user agents and mail transfer agents in virtual machines, as well as 19 distinct malware samples belonging to the largest botnet families at the time. And we performed active probing, meaning that for each email that these clients were sending, we basically made them talk to a different SMTP state machine that was implementing a particular variation. You can find the details about all these state machines in the paper. And the results show that the set of legitimate malicious dialects are completely disjunct. So basically, by performing active probing, we can always say if a dialect is actually a legitimate one or not. And it also shows that malware families all speak different dialects. So what we could do is actually performing a malware classification just by fingerprinting their email engine. Also, we show that we can, in some cases, reach a better classification than antivirus labels. For example, we had a number of samples labeled as the MyDoom email worm, and it turns out that we observed two very different dialects that were grouped under this antivirus label. And probably this is just a generic label that antivirus companies give to worms that spread through emails. Then we looked at how we could use our technique for spam mitigation. And to this end, we performed a passive observation on our department email server. And in particular, we analyzed 621,000 SMTP conversations. We only performed passive analysis because, of course, our department administrators were not comfortable with letting us send weird messages to their recipients. And as a result, our tool was able to detect 260,000 of these conversations as being sent by bots, 218,000 as being sent by legitimate clients, and for 143,000, we could make no decision because basically from passive observation, there was at least one legitimate dialect and one malicious one that looked the same. We then look at how accurate our detections are. And to this end, we compared our detections with the defenses in place on our department mail server, which were a blacklist and a content analysis system, plus 30 additional blacklists. And you can find the list of these blacklists in the paper. And basically, we could confirm most of our detections as being spam. For 0.67% of these, we could not. So we consider these as an upper bound for our false positives. It might be that actually previous techniques missed these sources as being malicious. It might be that actually these are false positives of our system. Unfortunately, we have a pretty high rate of false negatives. And the reason for this is that our tool detects email engines and not content. So if we have an SMTP server that is set up by spammers and sends out spam, we will detect it correctly as that particular kind of SMTP server, for example, Postfix, but we cannot say anything about the content it is sending. Same thing happens with compromised webmail clients, webmail profiles, for example. For these, we could leverage previous work, such as content analysis, that actually looks at the email content. So is our technique worth? I mean, could we use it in a real environment? Here you can see all the detections performed by various configurations of email servers. On the right, you see our ground truth, which is the composition of whatever was detected as spam by our email server plus the 30 blacklists I was mentioning. And we envision our technique as being pretty lightweight because, as I said before, we make a decision before the content of the email is sent. And so the first thing we did was comparing Babel with the blacklist that was in place on our department email server. And as it turns out, our technique detected quite a bit more spam, 15.5% more. So it could actually be valuable to put our technique in the pipeline in an anti-spam environment. In addition, the detections by the blacklist and our technique do not overlap completely because, for example, an IP blacklist is able to detect SMTP servers that are just rogue and send emails, spam emails all the time. So by using both techniques, one after the other, we would have been able to detect about 27% more spam, which is a lot less spam being forwarded to the content analysis technique, which, as I said, is resource intensive. And even by using our technique in conjunction with both blacklist and content analysis, we would have still been able to block about 4% more spam than the ones blocked by our department main server. So a careful listener is now probably wondering what happened to those 143,000 emails for which you couldn't make a decision. So basically, those are a lot of false negatives. Well, in the paper, we show that if we were able to perform active probing, we could actually make always this ambiguation with a single reply. And in particular, we always were able to find a reply that would make a legitimate client, we are undecided, if actually that's the dialect we're talking to, continue sending the email as if nothing happened, and actually would make a bot quit. As an example, suppose that our bot is, our server is actually undecided whether the client he's talking to is actually the MyDoom Worm or the Qmail mail transfer agent. What the server can do is sending a multi-line reply containing an OK code in the first line and an error code in the second line. So this is an incorrect SMTP reply because multi-line replies are allowed, but they need to have the same code for each line. So this is basically undefined behavior. But as it turns out, the bot will actually get the second command as the right one, and we'll just close the connection. However, if we're talking to the Qmail mail transfer agent, it will take the first one as the good one and just keep sending the email as if nothing happened. Let's now look at how the giving wrong feedback part works. We performed an experiment. We ran 32 malware samples belonging to the largest botnets at the time in our controlled environment. And we redirected all the emails we were sending to our own mail server that we controlled. On the side, we had a spam trap that was basically a collection of non-existing email addresses that basically just received spam. And anytime we saw the bots sending emails to one of the addresses in the spam trap, we would tell the bots that that address does not exist. We did not report that all the addresses the bots were sending emails to do not exist to avoid suspicion from the botmaster perspective. So basically, we ran the experiment for 40 days. And we sent feedback to 29 campaigns, which accounts for 2.8 million emails. We then developed a confidence metric that basically tells us how confident we are that our technique worked. And basically how this metric works is if we see the same campaign going on our spam trap, but just those addresses for which we gave wrong feedback stopping getting emails for that particular campaign. And for 5 of these campaigns, actually, we're confident that this technique worked. These account for 19% of the emails that we actually sent feedback for. And so we could see how this approach could actually have an impact in practice if implemented on real servers. Of course, our system has limitations. So what attackers could do is actually try to evade our dialect detection, for example, by re-implementing a faithful SMTP engine or just using an open source one and use it to send emails. However, what we show in the paper is that spammers would suffer a performance penalty by doing this. We showed that the fastest bot we could observe is able to send emails 10 times faster than actually the default Windows library sending emails in a tight loop. Another aspect we need to keep in mind is that typically the people running a botnet and the people sending spam are not the same. So typically the botnet gets rented to spammers. And what spammers do is that they basically personalize their email headers and their email content to avoid detection. And in particular, they could personalize their email headers to look like any client. So what we could do is looking at the dialect identified by the SMTP engine, as I described before, and look at discrepancies with what actually is advertised in the email headers. So of course, botmasters could force spammers to look like a certain client. So if I have an underneath engine that looks like Outlook Express, I will force my spammers to advertise as Outlook Express. This is for sure feasible, but basically, it would take away the ability for spammers to obfuscate and vary their templates a lot. They could just vary the content of an email, and this would make them easier to detect by previous work that, for example, looks at email templates for spam mitigation. And for the feedback manipulation part, as I said, we put the botmaster in a lose-lose situation. So he can either accept our feedback and remove existing addresses from his email lists, and basically these addresses will not receive spam anymore, not from that botnet at least. Or he could just discard everything, but by doing this, he would be unable to tune the performance of the botnet. So to conclude, I presented Babel, which is a tool that looks at how email engines interact with mail servers. And we had 2 different techniques, SMTP dialects and feedback manipulation. And we showed how Babel is an available tool to aid spam mitigation. And it also raises the bar for botmasters, because if they want to evade us, they need to actually suffer some penalty. And this is it, and I'm open for questions. Thanks.
All right, so if you have any questions, step forward. I have a first question to start things off, very interesting. I was curious if you looked at things at lower levels, such as when I think of a dialect, I think of something like, hello, my name is Kevin versus, hello, my name is Kevin. Did you look at timing issues, for instance, and how they speak, or just caching?
This is actually doable. I mean, we left this open for our dialects. The problem is that typically we envision this system as being deployed on a mail server. And in particular, we had only access to the actual commands being sent back and forth, but not to the timing information. So this would actually be discriminative of the dialect, but we didn't have access to this kind of information.
I was curious if maybe there's previous work in that space.
Yeah, there is also. Okay.
Kevin, name and affiliation, please.
Kevin, you asked my question. So.
Oh,
okay.
I am so sorry. But you could say it in a different dialect.
Okay. He could. Jeremy Epstein, National Science Foundation. I was curious whether you had got any comments from your institutional review board about any issues associated with
basically, the data we worked with were anonymized. So we worked with our support people who are running the server, and basically all the data they gave us was sort of, as I mentioned before, we had these identifiers, on, for example, to detect email addresses. So what we just saw was stuff like, you know, hello, email address, but we didn't really see who these emails were going to. And we didn't also see, like, who the recipients were. Yeah, exactly.
Were they at all concerned with the privacy of the spammers?
Mm, Not really. Well, what we observed was only an IP address, and typically if you are a legitimate sender, you will go through an MTA before. So we could just see, you know, this email was coming from Google, but we couldn't really see who the actual sender was.
Thank you.
Right, and of course, based on that question, I'll just plug the Menlo report. Go read it if you're concerned about human subjects and IRBs. All right, so I don't see any further questions, so thank you, Gianluca. Mm-hmm.